we enjoy the best of the best. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in God's presence this morning? Hallelujah. So make up your mind that where the best of the best has been, I will be there. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about this morning. Praise the Lord. All right. We have been talking about the rules of wealth and prosperity. The rules of wealth and prosperity. The rules of wealth and prosperity. So today, we are talking about the part two now. The rules of wealth. My theme scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give me King James. Alright. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Do you know the meaning of that? The day he swore to them before you were born, he promised them that, look, Abraham, come. Your generations after you will be rich. They will be wealthy. I will see to it. So God said, the same way he said it that day, he is saying it now. As it is today. So you must remember, and never forget that thing that God has promised. Hallelujah. So we are looking at We are looking at the rules of wealth. And last week, we looked at two different rules. Rule number one is what? God is the source of wealth. Right? Rule number two, God wants us to be wealthy, successful, prosperous. And you know, we remember, we looked at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. That if he doesn't want you to be rich, if he doesn't want you to be successful, why will he teach you how to be rich? Why will he teach you how to be successful? Praise the Lord. Alright, let's see how many we can take today. But if it is only one that the choir minister that I'm able to help you with, hallelujah, let's just go home and relax. It's enough. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Alright, what is rule number three? Wealth is a mindset. Poverty is a mindset. Wealth is a mindset. So is poverty. Wealth is a mindset. And so is poverty. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7. Proverbs 23 verse 7. Now listen carefully. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's interesting. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now that's one of the most powerful statements on earth, in heaven, anywhere on earth. I will show you why it's very powerful. Hallelujah. Very powerful. So that's I submit to you this morning. Listen carefully. That if you think you are wealthy, you will be wealthy. If you think you can be poor, you will be poor. God will even help you. That looks like a paradox. But that's the meaning of this statement. It's as simple as that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you think you can be wealthy, everything in heaven and earth begin to cooperate with you to bat wealth. When you think you are poor, everything will cooperate to make you poor. Hallelujah. It's as simple as that. If you think, because as you think in your heart, so are you. You can't contest it. Hallelujah. Now let me show you a scripture, and then I will show you why that is very, very powerful. So if you think you can make it, you are right. If you think you can't make it, you are right. Hallelujah. If you think you can make it, you are what? You are okay. You are correct. And if you think you cannot make it, you are what? You are equally okay. You are correct. Everything will cooperate to bat your desire. Because whatsoever ye desire, that's what will happen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. And John chapter 8, 12 verse 8. Let's quickly look at it. I'll just read it first, then you take me to John chapter 12 verse 8. Now look at it. It says, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Is it the fault of God? No. But he knew that there are some people, they will only think poor, and they will be poor.
Look at it. Jesus reiterated this statement in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 8. Look at what Jesus said. He said, "For the poor always ye." He said, "For the poor always ye have with you." They will always be there. But what makes them poor? What makes them rich? That's what we are looking at this morning. And the only thing that makes a man poor and a man wealthy is the state of his mind. Hallelujah. Is what? The state of his mind. Now that's difficult, that's technical, and you need to understand it. Now, these are the things that make men fail. This is it. These are the things that makes men fail. Now, let me show you why I said that if it is the only thing I am able to help you with, you are okay. Should I show you why? Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 13. I'll show you 17 and 18. You can give it to me in the message. Exodus chapter 13. I want to show you why this is very, very powerful. And you need to understand it. Once you understand this, you are okay. And then I will show you what has been stopping you. Hallelujah. Now look at this scripture. You know, when they left Egypt. You know, that's why you have to understand the Bible very well. So that many a times the things we blame God for, God doesn't know anything about it. He doesn't. But it's unfortunate. Because we blame him for things he knows nothing about. Now, what happened before they left Egypt? How many miracles and plagues did God wrought in Egypt? How many? Before they left. Ten plagues hit the land of Egypt when they left. So immediately they left and they started running. And you know, they left. What happened? Pharaoh decided to pursue them, right? Am I communicating this morning? He pursued them. And they got to where? The Red Sea. Isn't it? You remember? Then they got to the Red Sea. If it is you that saw ten miracles, how will your life change? How happy will you be? Very happy, right? 10 miracles. You know, you can post with it. But now listen carefully to this statement. He said, it so happened that after Pharaoh released the people, God didn't lead them by the road through the land of the Philistines, which was the shortest route. For God thought, listen carefully, if the people encounter war, they will change their minds and go back to Egypt. Underline that statement in your Bible. Now, let's quickly look at verse 18. It says, so God led the people on the wilderness road, looping around to the Red Sea. The Israelites left Egypt in military formation. Now, listen carefully. God showed them miracles. They loved God. Go back to 17. They loved God. He helped them. They acknowledged all what God did to them. But the Bible now says something that is very, very difficult. And what was that? The Bible says God didn't lead them through the land of the Philistines. Why? He says, which was the shortest route. Now, listen carefully. Which was the shortest route? Underline it in your Bible. Why didn't he lead them through the shortest route? Why is it that you are on the same spot for long? Have you ever asked yourself? This is the reason. What is that reason? He says, if they encounter war, they will change their minds. Now, which is easier? You ask yourself, but why didn't God say, I will change their minds? Do you know why? If God changes your mind, he has broken a law. What resides in your mind? Your willpower. That is why your willpower that is resident in your mind is the most powerful force on earth. It is the strongest force on this universe. Everyone has the power of his mind. And you must know it. And that power, God will not violate it. God respects it. That is why when people die and they go to hell, hallelujah, heaven is not perturbed because they have chosen to go to hell. God won't tamper with it. He won't tamper with their mind. And do not ask yourself, the devil rebelled in heaven. Didn't he rebel? He rebelled. Why didn't God make him change his mind? and say, no, you must serve God alone. Don't ever think it in your heart that you want to replace God. Did God do that to the devil? No. When it took the apple, is it apple? The fruit. And she was about to eat it. Hallelujah. Why didn't God say, Eve, stop that, and then eat the apple away from her hand? I said, Kai, don't eat. Have you ever asked yourself? Because God has given man a willpower, and you can choose to use that willpower not to serve him. You can choose. It is the power of choice, and that power resides in your mind. That is it. It resides in your mind, and you can choose whatever you want to do with it, and God will respect it. So when the devil decided to use his own mind to say, I won't serve God, God didn't have any problem with that. God said, okay, no problem. But you know the consequence is hell. The devil said, okay, no problem, I know. And then they signed a pact, and then they drove him away from heaven. Very simple. God told them, when they see war, they will run away. Hallelujah. Do you know why many people are poor? Because on the route to their wealth, there are challenges. Immediately they see the challenge, they will change their mind and no longer serve God. So God decided to take them through 40 years. The Bible says that route is the shortest route. You have been praying about it. You have been praying about it. But God checked the state of your mind. He said, this guy can't take it. If I give him this word, it can kill him. I don't want him to change his mind. Let him follow me gradually. And that is why many people's journey in life and destiny have been prolonged. The way he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Successful people expect to be successful. Wealthy people expect to be wealthy. They have made up their mind that that's the way it is going to be. So God cannot force you to change your mind. If you want to be wealthy, no problem. He will cooperate with you. If you want to remain poor, he will cooperate with you. And that's why he said, the poor will always be among you. No problem. He doesn't have any problem with that. Ask your neighbor, which will it be? Wealth or poverty? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, there is this story I've told you before. I love telling that story. I first heard it from Reverend Sam Adeyemi. Praise the Lord. Where I ministered day before yesterday, I was sharing that story with them. Praise the Lord. A fisherman went to the river to fish. And when he got there, he started fishing. But he had a stick. And any time he catches a fish, he measures it with a stick. Once that fish is longer than the stick, he throws it back into the river. Anyone that is shorter than the stick, he keeps it inside his cooler. So some people were observing him from afar, and they were looking at the fisherman. Now, wow. So one summoned up courage and walked up to him and greeted him. He said, good day, sir. And he said, good day. You are welcome, my friend. He said, sir, please, what is the mystery and the philosophy around what you have been doing? The man said, there is no mystery. Which mystery? He said, the way you were measuring this thing against that stick, what kind of mysterious stick is this? So we are also fishermen and we want to learn. And the man laughed. He said, there is no mystery and there is no philosophy. He said, what happened? He said, this stick is the size of my frying pan at home. Any fish that is longer than this, hallelujah, I have to throw it back because it's bigger than my frying pan. That is the way the mind of many people are. Hallelujah. For example, now we said our new church we are building. How many people will give us 200,000? Hallelujah. See, I told you before, the ministry of a pastor that was praying for his church member. He said, this year, by the grace of God, you will break through. This year, you will break through. And everybody said amen. And everybody said amen. And there is a man in his church. He has been believing God for a contract. So he was praying that Lord today. So they called him after service. They said, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they are married. That they are fighting seriously in their house. They are fighting seriously in their house. So pastor,
come and intervene. He said, but we just finished serving. This man is a deacon. He's beating his wife. They said, they are seriously fighting. So the pastor said, oh, no problem. You know the work of a pastor. He was tired, but he stood up. He went to their house. And when he got to their house, truly he met them fighting. And he sat down. And he began asking questions. He said, calm down, bro. Ha! Dicky! Why are you doing this? Why are you beating your wife? And finally, when they calmed down, finally, he asked the man, he said, what is your problem? What is your problem? He said, don't mind this woman. She's not serious. Hallelujah. And the man said, okay, what is it? Tell me. The man said, I told her that once that contract hits, that I'm expecting a profit of 500 million naira. I said, I will pay tight 50 million. And I will give her 20 million to do shopping. And she said 20 million to do shopping. She will not agree. How can you just give me 20 million out of? Hallelujah. He said, that thing that you wrote down, I don't agree. The pastor said, what is it? He said, I will pay tight 50 million. I will give her 20 million. I will give you, sir. I will also give you 30 million. And you are the one that I've been praying. The pastor said, pardon? He said, I will pay tight. He said, how much? 50 million. He said, how much did you say you'll give me again? He said, 30 million. The pastor said, ta. The pastor fainted. You know why? His mind couldn't take it. Eh? The man has not won the contract. He can't take it. There are things they mention around you. You reject it quickly. You reject it. Why? Your mind can't take it. And God is looking down. And God is saying, yeah. I don't want you to faint like that, pastor. Okay. Go through the long route. Do you understand? So when your mind can finally take it, we will give you. And you know what? Most of those children of Israel that went through the long route, out of a whole generation, only two of them were able to change their mind to cooperate with God. And it was only those two, Joshua and Caleb, that got to the promised land. Why? They were able to change their mind. What have kept you on the same spot? You are looking at other people and they are getting things cheaply. But you are asking yourself, why not me? Why not me? God is saying, I can't give you. You can't take it. Whatever you can't take with your mind, you can't have in your hand. That's the principle. You can't. Wealth is available. God is a God of abundance. Can he give it to you? He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Why don't you have it? He doesn't want you to change your mind. So, why is it that we have such things in our mind? And what do we call it? What stops many people is what I call limiting beliefs. Is what I call what? Limiting beliefs. What are limiting beliefs? Let me give you a few definitions. A limiting belief is a story that you have told yourself to justify where you are. That's a limiting belief. It's a story that you told yourself. And that story, you always use it to justify why you are where you are. Hallelujah. You know, I always yap the students. Praise God. You know, when we were in school, I'm sure it happens to many people. When we're in school, and you start for an exam, and in the exam, you check your grade, over 30, right? And you discover that in that test, you had 9 over 30. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You had what? 9 over 30. And you are feeling very bad. How can I have 9? How can I have 9 over 30? No! How can I have 9 over 30? You understand? Then you went to your best friend. Praise God. He said, how much did you score? He said, hey, don't mind that lecturer. He gave me 7. And you had 9. I said, okay, no problem. There is one guy, one ethical guy. That guy goes to class. We have one guy like that in my class. Abdul. He goes to class 11 p.m. every day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Christmas Day. And comes back 5:30. you are intimidated. It was one day we were strolling and we saw that the guy was sleeping. The guy had mosquito net. Hallelujah. So you now look at that ethical guy in your class that used to go to school, go to class to read very well, overnight, every day. You now ask him, how much did you score? Abdul now tells you, 5. Ah. You know you have been walking like this before. When your friend says 7, you started walking like this. When Abdul said 5, you did like this. Then there is one guy, anytime you do test, that guy is always first. In fact, he sits in front. You know the people that sit in front, you know them. So before lecturer finish asking question, he has answered. You now ask him, what did you score? The guy said 8.5. Put your hand in your pocket. You start walking like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have told yourself some truths or some lies. I said, that is it. Even the best thing in our class at 8.5. So 9 is okay. It's justified. Isn't it? That's a limiting belief. And you know the problem? You will never talk to the people that have 29. So don't mind them. They bribe the lecturer. That's the lie you told yourself. Everybody that's got 25 over 30 and above, you always see them around the lecturer. You say it's because they used to carry his bag. It's a lie. It's a lie you have told yourself that has kept you on the same spot. He got a job in a bank immediately after graduation. It's because his father knows. It's a lie. It's a limiting belief. That is a limiting belief. You cannot afford 10,000 naira. You said because we were not born in Abi. I will show you samples of limiting beliefs. Different types. I will show you today. And you will start laughing at yourself. That's a limiting belief. They are the lies you have told yourself to justify why you are where you are. It's a lie. But you willfully decide to embrace it. And you know what? Heaven and hell and earth cooperate with you to bat that miracle. That's the problem. It's a limiting belief. Let me give you other definitions of limiting beliefs. It is something that is holding you back from making different choices in your life. It is something that is holding you back from making different choices in your life. Limiting belief is also something that keeps you from seeing different opportunities that are presented to you each day. It keeps you away from seeing different opportunities that are presented to you each day. That's a limiting belief. It is something that prevents you from seeing your own gifts and accepting your potentials and doing something with it. That's a limiting belief. This one is terrible. Because a limiting belief is also something that keeps you focused on negativities. That keeps you focused on negativities. You want to start something. You want to start something. And the minute you want to start it, you now thought, Brother Job started it. The man didn't last 3 months. He stopped the business. And I said, therefore, you look around again. You saw Sister K that did it. Sister K tried. She did that business for 6 months and she packed up. You now say, therefore, if I do this business, I might end up like Brother K. Now, therefore, the equation, you know, you put dot, dot, dot for the equation now. Therefore, I will not try. That's a limiting belief. That's the equation of many men. So you agree with it. The only people you see are the people that did it and failed. That has now become your own story. And it's a good excuse for you to fail. And somebody said, an excuse is a good reason to fail. That's an excuse. A very good reason. Beautiful reason why you should fail. That's an excuse. That's a limiting belief. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What creates limiting belief? Two things that create limiting belief. Your thoughts and your environment. Your thoughts
and your environment. Your thoughts and your environment.
Your thoughts
and what?
Your environment.
Those are the two key things that creates your limiting beliefs. You look up, you look down, you look everywhere in your area. Hallelujah. And the only thing you see, you know, I told you before that I once traveled to Nigeria Republic, and they said they used to celebrate. My host said they are going for a party, and I was wondering, what type of party? I said, well, I just came from Nigeria, so they are tired. I want to rest. He said, okay, no problem. Just take your rest. But I want to go for the party. We'll come back later. I said, what party? And the man said, so person, one of the assistants in the office bought a motorcycle. They want to go and wash it. Yeah. So, you know, I was wondering. So, he said there are two things that in that community, that if you achieve, you must celebrate. I said, what are the things? He said, if you buy a bicycle or a motorcycle, and then if you build a hut, you celebrate it. You wash it for the people in the community. I said, what if you buy a car? He said, they don't buy cars there. Do you understand? So you grow up in such an environment, you can't understand why some people should buy a car. You think everybody that buys a car is a thief. Abi said he's a politician. Have you? May God deliver us from that mindset. You see somebody with a good car, you say he's a politician. It's a lie. When last did that go to contest to the governor or to the governor of the state or president of Nigeria? When last? Huh? When did Otetola became the governor of Lagos State? When? Eh? Have you seen his name on the ballot box? You say he's either a politician or he's a thief. Or a ritualist. Those are the lies you have told yourself that has kept you on the same position. That's all. You just made up your mind. And everyone on earth cooperated with you to keep you on the same spot. And God said, he will change his mind. Let's take him through the long road. So you believe that now you must work hard. Very hard. 24/7. Before money can come. Don't get by labor what men can get cheaply by favor. Don't. It's a limiting belief. They are the lies you have told yourself. They're lies. Go and check statistics. Go Google it when you get home. You discover that now in America, they have more people under the age of 25 that are millionaires than before because of the advent of the internet. Hallelujah. That's the truth. My brother-in-law was in Ghana. He wanted to buy an item. And when he asked them, how much is this item? They told him, $20. $20? Ah, he said, what is the last price? And the owner of the shop started laughing at him. I said, why are you pricing it? And the woman was laughing. And he was wondering, why is this woman laughing? The woman said, that has been the price since 1972. And this is 2017. Or that was 20. Was it 2018 also? It's a limited belief. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I went out with my brother-in-law. He wanted to buy certain things. And he showed me this one, £50. This one, £30. This one, this one, that. You understand? He said, so, because I wanted to get some things for my wife and all that. So he said, this one is good. I looked at it. Wow, beautiful. It's very good. I said, how much? He said, £50. 50 times 600. How much? One. I said, Owo. You know the video of Owo where I come from? His expense is beyond me. You understand? But he said, no, this is just 50. You know, in their own currency. May you be wealthy in foreign currency. Many people
are locally rich and globally poor. Do you understand that statement? Eh? They are what? Locally rich. Said, I am a millionaire in Nigeria. We clap for you. You don't step into Itro with 1 million naira in your pocket and you ask them, I want to buy this, and they tell you it's $2,000. And you say, okay, $2,000. How much is that? They said it's 1 million naira. And they give you 2 sheets of paper. They said, the whole money you carry in your box is 2 sheets of paper. That's the way our minds work. And that's why Africa is where it is. Limiting beliefs. Our environment has cultured us. I told my brother, please, my phone is almost flat. You know, it's in the plane. I had to switch it off when I came down. You understand? Before I could get in touch with him and all that. I didn't know I was not charging when I came, while on the plane. So I had to save it so I can call him. I said, so please, where can I charge? He said, calm down now. They don't take light here. Even in the bus, you charge. There is Wi-Fi. So you know, sometimes when they are joining us online, and I tell them, in fact, this morning, we pray, we took authority over the network. He said, what does that mean? That day we cooperate with us. How? That's the way we have grown up. We didn't know. They don't know that data finish. Yeah. They don't know. Abraham, why are you not online? Abraham will tell me, sir, it was 2 megabytes. I want to save it for WhatsApp so that I can flash you with it. Our environment has kept us where we are. And we all agree, or we all have limiting beliefs. Let me share some of them with you. Let me tell you, there are different types of limiting beliefs. But I want to talk about limiting beliefs as regards money. But let me share some about self-limiting beliefs. Number one, write it down. Because when you get home, I want you to sit down and write out all your limiting beliefs. Are you following me? That's your assignment. You will write them down. You will put them down. You will now tell God, I step on it today. In the name of Jesus, today marks the end. Number one, I'm not good looking. You have told, it's a lie you have told yourself. It's a self-limiting belief. Number two, I'm not capable of accomplishing my goals. It's a limit you told yourself. Number three, I am not lovable. People don't like me. It's a limiting belief who told you. Number four, nothing I do is ever successful is a limiting belief. Number five, should I tell you number five? You know, today is Mother's Day, right? I will pray for the mothers. Praise the Lord. Number five. Men don't cry. It's women that cry. It's a lie. You told yourself, and you are feeling emotional. Did I tell you the man slept, he didn't wake up. He has bottled so much that he didn't release. Yeah. Now let's go to money now. Limiting beliefs about money. Number one, I will never be rich because I don't come from money background. It's a lie that you told yourself. I will never be rich because I didn't come from money background. I was not born with a silver. Who originated that? There are some people where we get to heaven, we must look for them. We say, who said I was not born with a silver spoon? Let's look for that man and slap him. You know, there are some people, God will have to guide them specially in heaven. Because we will fight them. They must explain certain things they did. For example, I've always told you, Adam and Eve, I'm sure, they will have to be surrounded by angels. Because they have a lot of explanation to give everybody. Hallelujah. So everything, they will just say, that place, you don't go there. I say, why? Ah, it's Adam and Eve. Okay, we understand. We'll be watching, we'll be waiting for them. We'll wait for Eve. The day Eve will come out and fetch water. Number two, no one is in my family has ever been rich. It's a lie you told yourself. You had it.
Number three, I don't have enough education to be rich.
Abi, honestly, assuming I'm a prof now.
Ha. Hey, yeah. I finished from FUTO.
Abi, maybe about 20 years ago now, I have a prof, by the grace of God, I won't mention his name. The same car. I left with him 20 years ago. By the authority of his mind, he's still driving it. And he's proud. Have you seen him? You said, I clean my car, I wash it. English. You have not seen a prof professor before. It's just English. This is because, honestly, assuming I'm a prof. It's a lie. You told yourself. Nobody told you. It's a limiting belief.
Number next. If I get rich, no one will like me.
Do you know that? It's a limiting belief. Just have a feeling that people will just despise you. They will just start envying me. They can even send Boko Haram after me. They might want to kidnap, they will send kidnappers. It's a lie you told yourself.
Yeah.
Number next. I can't get wealthy in this profession. Honestly, assuming I had known, I would have been a medical doctor. Go and check the list of the first 100 wealthiest people in the world. If I go check the first 50, you won't see any medical doctor there. Am I communicating? So it's because of this profession. Honestly, I know vulcanizers in this town, not in another place. So if it is Abuja, they have big men cars. That's the kind of car they fix in Mina. Do you understand? That is giving out houses for rent. He has sets of 2-bedroom flats, about 8 in different locations in this town, and it's a vulcanizer. And you are there. Say, it's because of this profession. So you decide that, look, okay, I know what to do. First degree, you finish it. Second degree, another second degree. I saw the CV of a man, I nearly fainted. The guy has 5 masters in different fields. I have a friend in this town, when he relocated to the UK, 15 years, after he has relocated to the UK, you know, we were very good friends. We did this CCNA together, this Cisco Certified Network Associate exam. We did it together, CCNA, CCMP, and all that. 15 years after he has relocated, no, sorry, 10 years after he has relocated to the UK, he told me, he said he just got a job. I said, wow. See, so all this there, what have you been doing? He said, many jobs. He said, Olamide, I've done 20 certifications and 3 masters before I got this job. Hallelujah. So you are telling yourself, it's because of this profession. There are people that, what is they didn't finish school. Go and check the first 7 people, richest men in the world, and show me which of them finished secondary school. And tell, show me how many masters holders are there. Is a lie that you have told yourself. And you know what limiting belief is? It keeps you in a comfort zone. So when everybody is telling you, let's push him, let's do something better with your life, move ahead in life, you are comfort. You tell yourself inside your mind, you say, don't mind them, don't listen to them, don't listen, don't mind them, don't mind them. It's because they are not in your shoe. What is your shoe? What is your tete kobo shoes? Abi. What is your shoe? We are not interested in your shoe. We don't want to wear your shoe. Say, it's because they don't know where the shoe is pinching me. Why should we know where the shoe is pinching you? That's your headache. If they lie, you have told yourself. So somebody there in my shoe, they will understand what I'm going through. What are you going through that somebody has not gone through before? Are you Job? Number next. You are not Job now. Are you Job? Eh? Did you give birth to 7 children that died in one day? And so, what's your condition? You want to harass us?
Number next. Money is the root of all evil.
Hallelujah.
You know, they will even support it with scriptures. So you know anything you are looking for in the Bible, you will find. I told them in the Bible college day before yesterday, I said, anything you are looking for in the Bible, you will find. You know why? Because inside the Bible, demons spoke. God spoke. Fishermen spoke. People that went to school spoke. People that didn't go to school spoke. So when you are quoting scriptures, be careful the person you are quoting. No. Lest you are quoting a demon. They spoke in the Bible. Hallelujah. Even the devil went, told God, I go to and fro. You know, I was telling them on Thursday on the mountain, I said, if the devil can go to and fro, that's good. And then me, I saw revelation in it. And they asked me, they said, I said, should I show you the revelation? They said, yes, show me the revelation. I said, anytime you are looking for what? Passport. You can travel anywhere on earth. You know why? Because the devil is an illegal occupant. You are not. The devil doesn't have the flesh. So why can they be going to and fro? And they said, they deny you American visa. Why? You should go to and fro without barrier. You told yourself lies. Number next. I don't like rich people. They are too proud. I don't like rich people because they are too proud. It's a little, you told yourself the lie. How many rich people have you lived with before? You say, have you stayed in the house of Otedola before? How did you know they are proud? He said, the way they speak, did they talk to you? No. What's your problem? Number next. Having too much can make you do bad things. Have you heard that before? They say, honestly, that guy, it's because he has money. That's why he's behaving like that. It's a lie. Money is neutral. Money only amplifies the behavior and the character of the man that holds it. Money is neutral. Number next. If I want more money, it shows that I am greedy. Have you heard it before? Number next. Money is not everything. I said, poor people, they tell you, money is not everything. You know, I there was a quotation I put on my status recently. The guy said, money is not everything. He said, I agree. He said, but have money before you believe that nonsense. Have it first. And let's see whether you still believe that nonsense. The money is not everything. The Bible says money has added all things. Eh? You know, if you go to church and you don't know what you are going to eat next, even if they are laying hands on you for breakthrough, your mind is where you get to borrow the money for the next gari, and you didn't receive the impartation. Why? And you say money is not everything. It may not be everything, but have it first. I will know. Hallelujah. Number next. If I start thinking about money, I am neglecting my spiritual growth. Have you had it before? That's why God told us that this month you'll be wealthy and you'll be righteous. Is that not what Psalm 112 verse 23 told us? Say, wealth and riches shall be in his house. 112 verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Abi, take it to the air. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So wealth and riches with righteousness, is it not a possibility? It is. What are you believing? Who told you that lie? Once I start thinking about money, and should I shock you again? I was telling them when I was ministering there on Friday. You know what I told them? I said, I've checked the Bible and I've discovered something shocking. Now let me tell you that shocking thing. Jesus spoke more about money than about heaven and earth combined together. Check your Bible when you get home. Check all the parables. The kingdom of God is like a man that has found a precious jewel. The kingdom of God is like a woman that lost one coin and started looking for it. Why is he using all those references? The kingdom of God is like a man that was going on a journey and he gave talent to his servants. What is talent? Value for money. One talent is $660,000. One talent. So that's why when
that man, God, came back and he asked that other man. He said, "Where is? What have you done with your talent?" The one he gave one. What did he tell him? He said, "I buried it." He said, "You are a wicked servant. Why?" He said, "Why didn't you keep my money in bank? Because if you keep $660,000 in bank, even in Nigeria, where they will give you very rubbish money, at least they will give you rubbish interest. At least after 1 year, you kept $660,000 without doing anything, they will still give you little interest, even if it is $1,000 you have made on it." He said, "You are wicked." He spoke more. Don't let anybody bastardize your mind. You can be wealthy and be righteous. It's a combination that heaven gives to a man. Don't let anybody tell you lies. Number next. I can get a lot of money. Most people that get a lot of money, they are lucky. It's a lie you have told yourself. You're praying, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, as I go out today, I'm looking for favor." And you are believing God that somebody will just dash you $10,000. It's a lie. They don't manufacture money in heaven. I'm sure you know. So if God decides to rain money down for you, it will be fake. Because you won't have correct number. Because they don't print money in heaven. God didn't create money. He created wealth. Man created money as a means of exchange. You should understand that and set to it. Number next. I am not good at managing money. You may not be good at managing money, but that's part of the lies you have told yourself. You are not good at managing money. Have you read any book on money management? Have you attended any training on it? You are just seated in one spot and you are hammering it. That is because we are not good at... How? You are not trained. And let me just mention one more and stop, because I have maybe over 30 of them. So I want you to get home and tick the ones that are limiting you. And the one I didn't mention, write them. And say, "Lord, these are my limiting beliefs. I tear them to pieces today. I step on them. From today, they will no longer stop me." Do you understand that? And let me tell you this one. I am not destined to have a lot of money. Have you heard that before? God didn't design any man to live from hand to mouth. God designed us for abundance. He designed us for what? Abundance. Abundance. Why are you lying to yourself? Why? Why will you be praying such nonsense prayers? "The Lord, if at least I can just have one square meal. One triangle meal." He's a God of abundance. The Bible calls him El Shaddai. Do you know the meaning of El Shaddai? The many-breasted ones. He has, there are about 7.6 billion people on earth. God has a breast for everybody. If you leave your own, I will suck it. Life. That's the problem. It's your mind that has been your problem. How do I change and break and destroy limiting beliefs? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Can I have it in the Amplified? How do I destroy the yoke of limiting beliefs? Now look at it. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world," that is this age, "fashioned after and adapted to its external and superficial customs." He said, don't be adapted to it. Don't be caged. Don't be limited by those beliefs. How do I break it? Listen. He said, "But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by new ideas and new attitudes." That's how to change it. Let me break it down into practical terms. Number one, stop defending your limiting beliefs. Stop defending it. Hallelujah. One of my friends is my friend, is my mentor, is my coach. He told me something one day. He said when he was growing up, his father is fond of making a particular statement. And his father is always saying, "Look at it. Anything he has his father will say, no, we cannot afford it because we have to manage." Anything he asks for, he said, because father will say, "We cannot afford it because we have to manage." He said, that's how he grew up. He said, so one day,
He went to a restaurant to eat with his wife. And his wife asked him. His wife said, but look at that other restaurant. How that restaurant looks better than this one that we are. Maybe one day we should try and eat in that other restaurant. Is that shut up, woman? We have to manage. He said, and for the first time in his life, it occurred to him that he had started sounding like his father. He said, he apologized to his wife and he decided to go to that other restaurant. The best restaurant in that town. And he asked them for a bottle of the cheapest. He said the cheapest thing in that restaurant was water. That was 800 naira. The one bottle of water, 800 naira. He said, yes, sir. One of your bottle of Coke. He said, 1,005. He said, there are thieves in this place. Criminals. He is a limiting belief. Yeah, so he left the place. He was angry. He said, then God told him, bro, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. He said he went back there, he sat down, and he bought one drink, 1,005, and broke the back of poverty for life. And so when he went back to the old restaurant with his wife, he said he looked up, he decided that some of their bulbs are not working. Hallelujah! His mind has changed. There is a shift. But you know, many people, they are defending it. It is the custom. That was what my father used to say. We have to manage. So I have to manage. Stop defending your limiting beliefs. Some people can die there. They will defend it with the last drop of their blood. Number next. Read biographies of people that started with nothing and became great. That's how to transform your mind. That's how to transform your mind. Number next. Cut pictures of the places that look like where you want to go and paste it where you will see it. Cut out pictures of where you want to go and place it where you will always see it. I told you, I kept a picture since 2012. I kept a picture of Arsenal, the Emirates. I kept the picture. I saw the picture of Thierry Henry, how Thierry Henry, Arsene Wenger, and all of them, how they dedicated the statue of Thierry Henry. I kept that picture. And last year, when I got to London, when my brother said, I've already bought tickets, so we are going to Emirates. Ah! I said, when we go there? Hallelujah. I will go to the Emirates. And I stood where Arsene Wenger stood. I started shedding tears. Hallelujah. There is something about your future. When you keep a picture of your future, it drags you to that future. Many people, the only pictures you see around them are the picture of their great-grandfather. One woman called my wife. He said, come to our house. Mommy, I want you to come and talk to my husband. I said, what is it? He said, come to our house. He said, do you know that my husband kept pictures of all his grandparents? And his own picture and the younger ones, when they black and white. He said, those are the pictures they use in decorating their house. So we went to their house, truly. Picture of grandfather, great grandfather, his father, and himself at one day old. Those are the pictures in their house. Eh? There is Photoshop now. Let them Photoshop you inside Lamborghini. And use it as your wallpaper. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know the problem you have? Many people have kept the pictures of their past. And they kept looking at it. And when you keep looking at the past, past keep dragging you back. Keep pictures of the future you want to get to now. Change your mind. Who told you it is not possible? You say, honestly, one day I would like to live in a duplex. It's very simple now. Go online now. Print pictures of duplexes. Cut it. Paste it in your bedroom. Every morning you will see it because you will take your bath. As if you take bath every day. Hallelujah. Place it where you see it. Have things, create things around you that looks like where you want to go. Put it there. Look at them. Look at them. Build new challenges. Number next. Dare great things. Attempt great things. Dare them. He said, we need people to give us 500,000. Put down your name. Hallelujah. There is a young man. I was reading his story. I'm sure some of you read his story online. Very small boy. He said he was about, I think he said about 10 or 12 years old in the UK with his mother. He said, Benny Hinn came to their church to minister. So they attended the meeting. So they said people should donate, that Benny Hinn want to buy plane. That people should donate any amount. So they said, if you are going to donate £1,000, can you come forward? That boy just came and came forward. His mother has already written £100 and dropped it in the commitment box. So as we were praying, Benny Hinn. So Benny Hinn just said, oh, young man, your future is great. The Lord will give you your own jet. Ah, and everyone said, hey, man. And she looked up, his voice, and you know this one, where your mother used eyes to talk to you. The mother said, father looked at him. You are finished with the way we get to the house. Your cane is doing press up. So they said, so young man, what's your name? And he told them, and they wrote it. And then he said, don't worry, in the shortest possible time, you will even give up place. So when they got home, the mother didn't even bother herself again. Said there is no problem. And they said, who is the mother of this child? And she runs up and she said, you know that kind? I said, God bless you. You have trained him well. You know, he said, you have trained him well on that day. If you don't, we can't even pay for his rent. Stupid boy. So when they got home, the mother even looked at him. Why should I even beat him? There is no problem. It's because he has where to get it. So when they got to, that's where he went out to Abby. So he told his mom, when they got to, he said, mom, will you borrow me 1,000? You want to knock him? When you went out? You don't know you have 1,000. You don't go out. But you know what? He's in Abuja now. He's a lawyer. And he has a fleet of private jets that he rents out. Three of them. I think he has three or four now. That he gives out for rent. And they pay him. You don't know what you are missing. They are great things. Put down your name. But I don't know where you come from. Is that supposed to be your business? You serve a God of abundance. A man of God said one day he was praying. And he needed to pay his children's school fees. Heavy amount of money because of the school they were in. And he was praying. And he was just reading his Bible. And the Holy Spirit quickened a scripture in his heart. And he went to check for that scripture. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, he said, the cattle upon 1,000 hills in Isaiah are mine. Hallelujah. The cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine, saith the Lord. And he said, Lord, because the cattle upon 1,000 hills are yours, sell one of the cattle on the hills and give me the money. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. He said, 2 days later, somebody knocked at his door. And the man said, I used to have a ranch around here. The Lord told me to dispose the ranch and give everything to the missionary. And I was asking, Lord, which missionary? And the Lord directed me to you. Here is the money. You have not tried God. That's why you don't know how wealthy he is. They sold a ranch and gave the man money. So sometimes when I go and I see all these people, I say, yes, those are my cattle. They belong to my father. Number next. Move with people that can stimulate you. Move with people that can challenge you. I was listening to a man of God. I don't want to mention names now. And he said something that baffled me. He said the Lord gave him a breakthrough in ministry. And for the first time, somebody gave them, I think, cash donation in church of $10,000. $10,000. So he removed $1,000 and put it inside the envelope. And he went to his father in the Lord. I said, I'm a fundad in your friend. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, we'll give that the offering. You know, in this ministry, all the foreign currencies that we have had
dollars, we have had pounds, we have had South African, rands, everything. Everyone, every first ones that we have in this ministry, we have given it as to our spiritual father as a seed. You understand? And we have not stopped having foreign currencies. So he said he took the first one and took it to his spiritual father. He said, let's give daddy $1,000. So he packaged it. He said, I want to see daddy. Hallelujah. So they said, no problem. He waited, and after some time, he said he should come in. So he went in and sat in front of his spiritual father. His spiritual father said, I'm on call. So his spiritual father was making a call. And his spiritual father was saying, sir. And his spiritual father was talking to his own spiritual father. He said, daddy, actually, we are very low on cash now because of that project I told you about. He said, but there is no problem. No problem. I'll try and raise, let me see if I can raise £20,000 for you. Then I'll talk to so friend. We also raised £20,000. You needed £100,000. That's 40. That's already £40,000. He said, okay, no problem. He said, where he was, started sweating. He started sweating. He was shaking. He with his poor $1,000. The man said, okay, $20,000. I'll tell them, they will transfer the $20,000 to you now. He said, before the end of next week, they will transfer another $20,000. £20,000. He said, I'll talk to my friend. My friend will raise, he should be able to raise another £20,000 for you. That makes it 60. We have tried now as your son. Hallelujah. And then he said, the man went on his knees. He knelt down and was saying, amen, amen. So his father was praying for him. He said, so when the conversation was over, hey, that's all right, my boy, you're welcome. What is it? Actually, I brought my tithe. he was not bold enough. He said, I just came to greet you, but I want to use the opportunity to also drop my tithe. He said, he didn't mention the testimony again. He didn't mention the testimony again. He said, but as he left that place, something has changed in his insight. He told himself, how is it my father can give out as a seed £40,000? I should be able to do the same. He said he challenged himself. Now he has his own private jet. He broke, rang around people that will break your limiting belief. Do you understand? You have been in this town. You have never gone to Czech Republic. Rise up for your feet. Just rise up.